Radio Daily for Anti-Friday for some of us.
Yeah.
For others, maybe not so much, but that's okay. What are you going to do about it? Welcome to the 22nd of April, which is a day that I think I should remember as being something, but I can't, so I don't understand why.
Happy birthday, Ethan.
Oh, there you go. There it is. Sorry, it was at your birthday party. It always confuses me when a birthday party's not on a birthday. I know it doesn't always happen. It still confuses me.
Where the folks from Teddy's not listening to
RadioDaily.com. No, he's not in the slightest. And neither is anyone in his family, so there is that. The folks that are bringing you the show today were right there. The lady that's just going to put it to you plain and simple. It's the Flinstress.
Threats don't work unless you deliver.
Well, remember that. Okay. Hi there. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
You mind flirting outside?
I was just saying hello.
For you, that's flirting.
That's not true. What happened this fine day, yo?
Depends on who you're talking to. In 1056, the supernova Crab Nebula is bright enough to be seen with the naked eye for the last time. Bye-bye, supernova Crab Nebula.
1946, CBS successfully transmits color television signals over a coaxial landline from New York to Washington, D.C. and back for the first time.
What?
In 1946, the first installment of the popular Japanese comic strip Sazae-san, one of the first examples of manga, is published in the Fukunichi Shimbun, the local newspaper of Hasegawa, Japan.
1952, a nuclear explosion is shown on live network television for the first time.
It bombed.
Boo, shame on you.
In 53, 20th Century Fox Films release the science fiction film Invaders from Mars, directed by William Cameron Menzies and starring Jimmy Hunt, Helena Carter, Arthur Franz, Morris Ankrum, Leif Erikson, and Hilary Brooke. In it, a boy discovers that space aliens are taking over the minds of Earthlings.
I knew Vikings could be actors. 1968, the United States Supreme Court rules in the case of Ginsburg versus New York that materials that are not obscene for adults can still be obscene for children. And in the case of Interstate Circuit Incorporated versus Dallas, the court rules the film classification schemes are constitutional, as long as they are clearly defined.
In 1969, the first successful human eye transplant is performed in Houston for a patient named John Madden.
Football!
Not that John Madden.
1970, the first nationwide Earth Day is celebrated in the United States to promote environmental awareness.
In 72, Apollo 16 astronaut John Young and Charles Duke ride on the moon in the lunar rover.
1984, Gorzant 9, one of 35 geosynchronous Russian satellites, is launched. The other 34? Just keep listening.
In 1986, the first virus produced through genetic engineering is approved for use in vaccines by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The virus is designed for use in veterinarian medicines to fight a form of swine herpes.
Hey, kids, look at your parents for this one. 1996, Juno Online Services announces the Juno free email service. It generates revenues through advertising visible to both the sender and the email recipient.
Wow. In 1998, Disney's Animal Kingdom opens at Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida.
1999, an auction for an 1860s Sir John A. McDonald bedroom suite is closed on eBay. Days later, it's discovered the winning bid of $400,000 was submitted by a New Jersey teenager who stole his parents' password.
Uh-oh.
And proceeded to place over $3 million in fake bids all over the place. He also placed bids on a 1955 Ford convertible and a Vincent van Gogh painting.
Wow. In 2001, Chris Hadfield becomes the first Canadian to perform an extravehicular activity, an EVA. During his spacewalk, Hadfield installs the Canada Arm 2 onto the International Space Station.
It's not called an EVA. It's called an AVA. 2005, the Star Trek episode In a Mirror Darkly Part 1 first airs. In it, Commander Archer struggles to overthrow Captain Forrest in the Mirror Universe when the alternate Enterprise discovers a ship from the future and that brilliantly reused footage from First Contact.
Right.
Well done. Birthdays?
Amber Heard is 33 from Friday Night Lights, Pineapple Express, Zombieland, and Mira from Justice League.
Michelle Ryan is 35 from Bionic Woman, Cockneys versus Zombies.
Cassidy Freeman is 37, Tess on Smallville, Caddy on Longmire.
Cheryl Lee is 52, Laura Palmer in Twin Peaks, Winter's Bone, and of course, Dirty Sexy Money.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan is 53, from Watchmen, The Losers, Supernatural, oh yeah, The Walking Dead.
Ryan Stiles is 60, from Whose Line Is It Anyway, Hot Shots, Part 1 and 2, The Drew Carey Show, because that's different than Whose Line Is It Anyway, because I'm talking about the original.
Catherine Mary Stewart is 60, from Last Starfighter, Night of the Comet, and Weekend at Bernie's.
John Waters is 73, he brought us Pink Flamingos, Hairspray, Serial Mom, and for those of you brave enough, polyester.
Jack Nicholson is 92 years old, Shining, Joker in Batman, and Witches of Eastwick.
I mean, you know everything. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Charlotte Ray is 93 years of age. That is Mrs. Garrett on Different Strokes and Facts of Life. and of course Girl Meets World.
No Longer With Is born in 1906, Eddie Albert, The Heartbreak Kid, Green Acres, and Brenda Starr.
1923, Betty Page, I mean literally, the queen of pinups.
Born in 1923, Aaron Spelling, produced so many TV shows that it isn't even funny.
Not at all. 1936, Glenn Campbell, a singer, guitarist, songwriter, television host, and actor, and a rhinestone cowboy.
Born in 1939, Jason Miller, The Exorcist, Toy Soldiers, Rudy, and The Exorcist 3.
Nobody saw that coming.
But maybe something like that will be on TV, but not on CBS. We have a new The Neighborhood, Man with a Plan, and Abraham meets his best friend's widow as she thinks about suing the Corps on The Code. Oh, and a new bull.
Should I? ABC, meet the finalist on American Idol. Seve disappears before he is supposed to make his court appearance on The Fix. Oh, no.
Oh, no. On NBC, a live cross battles part two with the new The Voice and The Enemy Within.
Over on Fox, it's a new The Resident and 911.
On the CW, we get The Eggplant, The Witch, and The Wardrobe on a new Legends of Tomorrow. I love that show. And Arrow.
Freeform, Jace goes undercover to try to save Clary from Jonathan on a new Shadowhunters. And if you know who those people are, good for you.
Sure, I've read the books. AMC, Cressida, and Lydia find themselves in the middle of the Widow's plot against Pilgrim on a new Into the Badlands.
FX is showing Life, but not the Eddie Murphy, Martin Lawrence one.
Nope.
The other one.
FXX has a Simpsons marathon with opposites of Frack, The Frying Game, and Bart After Dark.
FXM, X-Men, Days of Future Past. Can we just go ahead and say probably the best one?
Yeah.
I mean, X-Men 2 was really good, but God, that
First
was so
class
fun.
First Class was really good. Sundance has Unforgiven.
Sci-Fi is showing, wait for it, Hellboy 2, followed by Hellboy.
They know you DVR it anyway.
Exactly.
On TBS, Francine attempts to befriend one of Roger's personas, who appears on TV to sell her homemade jeans on a new American Dad. The show's ridiculous.
I mean, what is she even doing? TNT is showing Basketball.
On Science, we get a new How the Universe Works.
USA has WWE Monday Night Raw.
And VH1 has One for the Ages on a new Love and Hip Hop Atlanta.
But tonight we're watching the Hallmark Channel because a woman has stood up at a wedding before drawing inspiration for her beloved aunt to write a heartfelt note and place it inside a bottle to be sent out to sea.
Message in a bottle.
Which is discovered months later by a fisherman who attempts to contact her. Andrew Walker, Bethany, and Joey Lynn star in Bottled with Love.
I hope that someone gets my...
The wonderful Billy Flynn takes a look at what happens when Salem's favorite couple takes off. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. As a newly appointed network president, Abby has to quickly rehire two executive producers for her network's flagship program. So even though they left on bad terms, she's bringing back Stefan as a writer and Chad as a director. And then Stefan finds out that Chloe's gonna be on the show and they gotta figure out a way to work together. I think everybody would have that problem with Stefan. Hashtag Chaddy. Forever.
So a quick note, last week Chad and Abby were on Desperate Housewives. So we'll go through the thing and pick a winner and let you know about that all tomorrow. I know we should be ready today, but I was traveling this weekend. Give me a break. If you know where Chad and Abby are this week, drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or of course you can send us a voicemail telling us all about where you hid the eggs at
510-GRD-CREW.
You'll find the rest of them in about 2 weeks.
Hello, Christopher. What insanity are you up to today?
Oh, hey, Lydia. I'm downloading some movies.
What? People are always telling me that's illegal.
Uh-uh, not these. They're all public domain. Oh, look, Rescue from Gilligan's Island.
Well, let me see what you're doing. Oh, you're at archive.org. Well, they have thousands of films, TV shows, commercials, radio shows, and books available.
Yeah, but... there are so many. I wish there was a podcast or something that would discuss these things. You know, give us an idea of what's worth the time.
Christopher, there is. We do one.
Oh, that's right. We host Orphan Entertainment. Once a month, we pick something and review and discuss it. That sure is nice of us.
Sure. Why don't you click over to Orphan Entertainment and remind yourself a little more about the show?
Oh, will do. Let's see, that's at orphanentertainment.com. And yeah, it looks like we're available on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Oh, hey, can we review the Gilligan's Island movie someday?
Mm-hmm, we'll see, Christopher. We'll see.
This is Gareth David Lloyd from Torchwood, and this is Geek Radio Daily.
Speaking of someone who can flirt just by saying hello.
And that's not just me. But no, he's really, really good at that. Let me tell you. So what if folks who didn't go anywhere go see, yo?
Yikes, this week's 10, last week's 3, Hellboy.
Whoa!
$3.8 million. It's made almost 20 on a $50 million budget.
This week's 9, last week's 7, Us. $4.2 million, $170 million in 5 weeks on a $20 million budget.
Creepy.
But it's going to be mind-blowing.
I wonder if people won't go to the beach this summer because of it. I don't know. Beach will decline.
There's no sharks in this movie.
This week's 8, last week's 9, Missing Link, made $4.3 million. It's only made almost 13 in 2 weeks.
This week's 7, last week's 4, Pet Cemetery, $4.8 million, 49.5 in 3 weeks on a 21 budget.
Horror movies are cheap to make, even when they have to pay Stephen King. This week's 6, last week's 5, Dumbo, made another $6.8 million. It's made $101 million on a 170 budget.
This week's 5, last week's 2, Little, $8.4 million. It's made $29 million in 2 weeks on a $20 million budget.
This week's 4, last week 6, Captain Marvel, still going, made $9 million. It's made over $400 million, just U.S., in 7 weeks.
That is more than every Batman movie ever made. This week's 3 is a new one, Breakthrough, $11 million, $14 million in just 1 week, so it must have opened early.
Yeah. This week's 2, last week's 1, Shazam, made another $17.3 million. It's made $121 in 3 weeks.
The number one movie in America is The Curse of La Llorona. $26.5 million on a $9 million budget in its first week, where they gave away the freaking twist in the trailer.
Yikes.
Come on, people, demand better.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. So if you didn't watch TV Thursday night and haven't since then, you might want to skip ahead like 2 minutes. But oh my god, Star Trek Discovery.
Right?
Whoa, insane.
Excellent
and crazy.
Excellent final episode.
It's been a little controversial for people over the years, and everyone's big thing has always been, what about the canon? They've got stuff, and it's supposed to be 10 years before Kirk, so how does it all fit in? How are they going to explain all of this? Well,
this is how.
They kind of have explained it. So, yes, if you saw it and you wondered, what the hell are they going to do? It's not just a one-time thing. It has been confirmed by our creators, Alex Kurtzman, the showrunner, that season 3 of Discovery will be set 950 years in the future. So that's why there's no more spore drive stuff. And
that was a spoiler.
Sure.
Yeah.
And we already talked about, why they're not doing holographic calls. They explained that in the show. So it's going to be insane. There'll be references to things that happened in Star Trek's history that will be part of the show.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's the perfect way to do it.
I'm just saying kudos.
I'm sorry. It was a great, yes. It was a very well done episode.
Let go of it, haters. Let go.
Well, kind of cool in Harry Potter lore, and it's not a J.K. Rowling's tweet.
What?
A new ride at Universal Studios Orlando will give visitors a brand new look at the magical world of Harry Potter and showcase a creature from the original books that never made it into the movies, the blast-ended Skroot. They're explosive, massive, scorpion-like creatures. The Skroots were heavily featured in the book version of The Goblet of Fire, turning out to be a frequent subject of Hagrid's care for magical creatures classes. They were also mentioned in The Order of the Phoenix and The Half-Blood Prince. But they're never actually included in the film adaptation. Now they'll be part of this ride. It's called Hagrid's Magical Creatures Motorbike Adventure, and it puts visitors on the motorbike and blasts them through the dangerous forbidden forest. This is what we all wanted, forgotten beasts and where
exactly.
to find them to be. During the trip, the guests will see various magical creatures that inhabit the world. There will also be centaurs, Cornish pixies, and Fluffy the three-headed dog. Devil Snare will also play a role in the ride, and it opens at Universal Studios on June 13th. Gosh, that sounds cool. Hopefully we don't get sprayed with the blessed and its group.
Oh, that would not be good. So, hey, 80s kids, after all this time, that long love you've had for the Garbage Pail Kids has not been forgotten. Now, before you get excited, there's not another movie. They're not even doing more cards. But for no particular reason I can think of, how about Garbage Pail Kids cereal, candy bars, and energy drinks?
What?
Yeah. Crazy Crisp with Marshmallow Barf Bite cereal is on the way to FYE, of all places, because there's still a few of those left. The Cherry Bomb energy drinks have a blasted bar, a leaky bar for your chocolate stuff. The energy drinks are like $4 a pop, and you're going to get them just because you're going to leave them on a shelf and never, ever touch them. So,
Hashtag Duff Beer.
I don't know why you'd want to be any kind of food product.
Still.
And want to be associated with the Garbage Pail Kids, but,
Was
here's your
popular?
Chance. Oh, at the time, in the 80s, yeah, it was a huge thing. And Sean Astin was in the movie, so come on.
But isn't it something you kind of like don't want to admit that you were a fan of?
If people can still talk about their Cabbage Patch Kids, you can talk about your Garbage Pail Kids and maybe have this cereal for second breakfast.
Well, and if you got money to spend on cereal, you could go to Vegas and you could bet on some crazy out there Game of Thrones guesses.
What?
Yeah. So Vegas, I mean, you could bet on just about anything. Favorite sports game, your favorite murder or happy TV show. Variety has a new report on the gambling scene. And basically, you can go with a variety of different outcomes from the predictable to, you know, the less predictable. So we've got things about like who will die next. Current odds are on Euron Greyjoy. Better be careful. Of course, this is, we are on Monday. So there was an episode, you know what I mean?
That we're not going to tell you.
We are not
going to tell
about
you who won from
episode two of season eight. None of that is included in this, right?
No, but we will talk Discovery.
And who will sit on the Iron Throne? Most people's money is still on Jon, which is reasonable enough. But some other bets are a good deal more odd, especially anyone not caught up on the show's lore, like offline, like Clegane Bowl, who will win? Get hype. The Hound and the Mountain, they will finally come together. And how many people will Arya kill? Some for some reason, which is set at either above or below 3.5. I don't even want to know about the half. My favorite, though, is will Arya wear Littlefinger's face? Yes, I know. Face magic and all that, but it's still a delightful question to see in a list of all of these odds. And, you know, yeah, that could actually happen. Ew.
You know, I'd like to take a bet as to whether or not she actually is Arya.
Oh.
Because I'm not entirely sure that she killed the mute woman from the temple. So that could still be a surprise, except it would be, well, it was a visual because she can't talk. Right. Never mind. And because we're... Because
the only thing better than a visual cue on a podcast is a visual cue on a podcast about a mute.
Exactly. Nothing better. Nothing better in the world. I got to end this thing on another sad note. We told you that Lupin 3 creator Kawahiko Kato, Monkey Punch, had passed away. And now we're finding out Kazukoki, who created Lone Wolf and Cub and Lady Snowblood, has also passed away. Lone Wolf and Cub, they made a superstar out of Tomosaburo Wakayama. And if you don't know who that is, look it up. The film version of Lady Snowblood's Mank, the film version of Lady Snowblood heavily influenced Kill Bill. So these are things that you should know. He also made Crying Freeman, Mad Bull 34, so many things. He worked on Marvel Comics, Hulk, the manga in the early 70s, X-Men Unlimited in 2003. He was even inducted into the Will Eisner Award Hall of Fame. He passed away from pneumonia on April 17th, the same day he tweeted a message about Monkey Punch's passing away, saying that he loved Lupin the Third, wishing him the best in the world. So this is just two huge punches in the face to anime fans of all across the world. And so I know Jason needs heavy consoling. And so Hollywood, could you maybe do somebody a solid? Could you possibly, for the love of God, make an actual Lone Wolf and Cub movie and make it good? I say, the way he made it. It's the way we want it. We're geeks and we demand perfection. Can't you tell by today's show? GRD is licensed with the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative Works Licensing 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Drop us a note and tell us how you've been doing and what's going on with you by sending that same note to a podcast at geekradiodaily.com.
Yeah.
And a phone number of
510-GRD-CRIP.
And again, we'll tell you who won? No, it's not the end of the month. Never mind. I told you, it's been a long weekend.
Yeah.
All right? It's been,
we'll get there, people.
Yeah. Sorry about, you know, things and stuff and whatnot.
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
What the hell are you still doing?
Ding dong. Classic. I mean, that says it all, doesn't it? Oh, man, you weren't kidding about this place. Well, I just love it.
Do I know you?
Oh, the color scheme and the rabbit ears and the 2.3 children. I mean, where's the high C?
High C and Fluffernutters.
Oh, and pearls on a little girl. It's a fairy tale. Oh, I've got the exact same curtains, only in my bathroom. Didn't you just die when you found these?
Not really. They just had corn on them. Kitchen? Corn?
Oh.
So do those records have camp value?
Everything here does. You yourself are worth a bundle, Homer. Why, I could wrap a bow around you and slap on a price tag.